These are my final notes of this journey that I started over 4 years ago to go through the Law of One, the raw material, and that just ended. And I promised I was going to give a couple of episodes dedicated to my last comments, lesson learned. And I did that in the last episode when I talked about mostly about how I see the Law of One now, the material itself, after beginning with a not fully satisfactory honoring of this trio who made this possible, and of course of the entity known as Ra. Mostly my heart goes to the trio, Don, Carla, and Jim, which I wish I could dedicate more time to say everything that they did for us, but I tried to do that in the last episode. This last episode is going to be about my own journey, what I learned, and how the Law of One played a part in the development of my seeking, the ending of my seeking, and my current state of beingness and sharing. So I think I want to start by saying that a lot of people thank me for what I have done with the material, and that's a side effect of just living in gratitude and resonating with this message, that whenever people like me or somebody else are willing to express how we interpret and see reality through these lenses, then people have this gratitude. However, that's not the reason, of course, why I started this. Even though in my videos I always address the viewer, you, who are listening. A little known fact about at least my own path is that the reason why I began all of this was for me. I began this because I felt an urge, a desire to share what I was going through by not only reading this material and finding coherence in everything, but also the relatedness that had with other practices and teachings that I was getting into, and that can probably be briefly summarized as the inner path, the path of self-realization. That's really what attracted me from the beginning, even before I knew what self-realization was. I mentioned in my past episode that the biggest energy that I was spending at the time was on what I call category 3 and 4 of the Law of One, which is transient information. A lot of us have that curiosity for transient information and also for, you know, the structure of reality. But slowly that started moving into self-realization, which is obviously the core message of the Law of One. So in that part, the Law of One played a role in satisfying a lot of these curiosities, giving a model that I was happy with, and I would say, yes, this makes a lot of sense, and to which I could compare also other models that I was learning and reading about. They seemed incomplete only because they were just patched up by human understanding and fashioning of the structure of reality. So that's a very important part in the Law of One, and I think a lot of people resonate with this. For example, if you have this nagging curiosity about UFOs or repressed history, or why do evil people exist, all these questions are kind of given answers, truncated answers in some philosophies and others. We're not fully satisfied. So when we get into the Law of One, we find a lot of congruency here, and we say, ah, yes, that makes sense. It all fits into one model, and in the end, everything fits into oneness. So that's very satisfying. And so that's what kind of cleared up my interest in all of these topics, to the point in which I didn't care anymore. I remember some of you might know about the Hidden Hand. That was probably the last time I read something that I was questionable, that was sort of negative, but still within the Law of One and all of this. And people asked me, could you read this? Could you give us your opinion on this? And it was the last time I got into something like that, where, you know, you go deep into that material, which is not a full material, but it's something that some people still talk about. And I got into that, and then I said, there's very little value here. There's more value into going into yourself, into your own being. And that's where I started discarding all of this interesting, I would say, it's fascinating stuff that it's out there, but it just kinds of loses its appeal, right? So that's one of the things that started to fall off from my journey. And also, another thing that started happening in my own journey was the falling off of the interest of trying to understand the dynamics of metaphysics and, you know, our body and the interaction with other entities and so on. I think I discovered a satisfactory understanding of that, and it's just like my interest started to move away from all this information and enhancing more on the practice, or the one point that we direct our attention to, which is the law of one. Not the law of one as a material, but the law of one as it is expressed in the as the limitations of language allow, which Ra says, I'm paraphrasing. But you get my point. The law of one represents not a material, but rather an understanding of unity. And that unity is you. You are the creator. At some point, this becomes the sole focus of your attention, your energy, and eventually all of that information just falls away. So going back to the reason why I started this, I started doing it because I wanted to. I felt good doing it, and it felt right doing it. So I started recording these videos, and I didn't have a channel, at least not, I had nobody. I just started uploading on YouTube. And that was the beginning. I met a lot of people. I discovered a lot of new things in the process. But I didn't do it for people, let's say. I did it for myself. And I want to be honest about this, because that's the truth. I am fully dedicated to just sharing my journey. So in a way, this also shows something that in the Law of One, Ra says about how we, as a service to others' path, we are also serving the self. So that's why the service to others' path is so powerful, because you're not only serving other people, but you're serving yourself, right? It's not possible to not serve yourself if you're serving others, because others are other selves. So that makes sense. And that's how I feel. I feel that whatever I have done for myself, because of the way I decided to do it, has helped others. That's a side effect. So I hope you can understand my meaning here by saying that I just appreciate the fact that I was able to do that, and that's what I continue to do. I'll talk more about this at the end of this video, but I have a couple of notes here that I wanted to share also, which are part of this journey. The first is that I began this interpretation, believe it or not, before even being halfway through reading the material. I just started to do this because I was so attracted to the first book, or the first two books, while I was going through it. And that means that I had no expertise on it. None whatsoever. I had no idea. But what I was just feeling at the moment. And I could say that over time, that has been... I felt more confident in terms of discussing what the Law of One is and the model, the structure of reality, the dynamics and processes of the mind and so on, everything that is explained there. But I began with a sort of neophyte approach. And right now I just don't feel like I am another, you know, I've graduated to teacher of the Law of One. I don't think we've ever met somebody like that. Although teaching is within the Law of One understood as just the activity of expressing and sharing, right? That's learned teaching. So in that regard, yes, we all learn teach. But I just feel like another student. We're all students, and in the best case scenario, we're just messengers of this Law of One. Beyond that, actually, I'd like to talk about this. The way I see reality, actually, is that we're all messengers of this Law of One. And I'll put it in a very simple term. We are all messengers because there is only one message, that message is love, it's unity, is bringing together people, cooperation and so on, peace, happiness. So we're all messengers of this. We don't have to study anything to become messengers or teachers. So we're all teaching, in essence, the message. The core message is very simple. You don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a historian. You don't have to be anything. All you have to be is sincere, honest, be yourself. So in a way, that's the purpose of us getting more in line with the message, because the message is sharing peace, happiness, love. And so the more we are aligned with that, the more we are aligned with the law of one without even knowing it, you see? So that's how I feel at this point. If anything, I'm a student of this infinite love that can be transmitted and shared or projected outward. And that's what I continue to do. My journey as a student of the law of one, and having done this small step in my path, my life, which is covering the material of the law of one, I see it just as another block. Even the study of the law of one became just another block in my road. It's another step. And I don't consider it to be my life's work. Some people have, in their love, expressed love to me. They say, we feel, or I feel, this is your life's work. Contrary to Don, who actually did say and express that, that was his life's work, and we can see why. I don't feel that this is my life's work. This is just another stone, like I said, in the road that I will continue to pave for myself, and as a consequence, something that I can leave for others to inspire and to deepen themselves into this path. So I feel like the law of one is just another block, like just many others. I have been, of course, associated and lovingly dedicated to studying other non-dual teachings, non-dual models of reality, which are congruent with the law of one. All of them are, of course, just a matter of language and concepts and so on. So that's where I gravitate mostly now. Poetry and other forms of expression that speak directly from this understanding. So all of these have been blocks, not blocks, I keep talking about blocks like Lego blocks in my path, in my journey, in my road. I have my dedication to share this as experience and no longer as a study. This is something that I would like to leave here too. I have a really full dedication to want to share this as experience, as direct experience, no longer as a sort of study. Like we learn this academically or intellectually, and then, you know, that's going to lead into some form of self-realization, for example. No, self-realization is an experience. It's not something that you learn with your mind. Your mind actually has to be tamed. It has to, as they say, be quiet down, or as I like to say, just be disengaged from the seemingly unceasing identification with its processes, you see? So at this point, while I love to talk about the philosophy and some of the concepts and some of the visualizations that we get out of this, I am more inclined, and my path will definitely move towards this, which is just the sharing of direct experience, which is through meditation, through investigation or self-inquiry, very simple methods that have been tried and have been successful, of course, for thousands of years. And this is at the core of the teaching in self-realization. It's at some point, it stops being something that is academic and material based. And I say this because some people still approach me and say, Gabe, will you do a reading and an interpretation of this this new material, or somebody's channeling this entity, and could you do? I really have no interest, to be honest. For the last 3 years or so, I kind of lost my interest in terms of this seeking, in terms, yes, of materials and things we have to study or we can study and derive. There's a point where you get enough stimulus in your mind from the studying of this material, and at some point it needs to die out. All of that needs to die out. You need to stay in the present without any sort of stimulus, because stimulus is just agitating the mind. You know, it's like continuously consuming a substance to maintain a state of mind. Now, at some point, all of this needs to subside. And this is a good time for me to share with you that my seeking actually lasted about 2.5 years, interestingly. From 2019 to 2021, I started losing, like I said at the beginning of this video, I started losing all of this interest in what I considered to be important at the time, which was structure of reality and repressed history and the lost knowledge of Atlantis and Egypt and Mesopotamia and all of this, you know, fascinating stuff that we get at the beginning. But at some point I kind of lost that interest into it, and everything just started narrowing into this one understanding, which is self-understanding, self-knowledge, know yourself. And when I started to get more and more into it, just life starts responding that way. You know, your attention goes into one place, and life, the universe, just keeps catering to you. And by the end, around this time, actually, in August, September of 2021, I was presented with this book, Rupert Spira's Nature of Consciousness. And for some reason, I know that a lot of people could read this and still be lost and not understand, but it was the last block that I needed for me to step on and say, this is it. So I owe this to the last step that I took in my seeking. And that's what I call the end of seeking. Because what happened to me is the experience of no longer wanting to seek anything. There was a lack of desire, right? I lost the desire to keep seeking just because everything was coming out from this understanding. And it was an understanding that was not intellectual. It was just something that I could go, and that's not even fair to say. I wasn't going anywhere. My mind would stop and answers will come up, or realizations, understandings would just come up, and they would come to embellish everything that I had learned up until that point. And anything that I continue to learn is now embellished by this understanding. So this is the best way I can describe it. Prior, when I was seeking, when I consider myself a seeker, I'm looking for that truth. I want to find the truth. Everything that I study and that I learn was a promissory note that told me, yes, you will be able to get this at some point. It's not there yet, but you keep meditating, you keep learning, you keep studying, and you'll get there. That's the seeking path. At some point, that stimulation brought me to this understanding, again, through the book of Rupert Spira. I don't expect everybody to read this book and have, you know, this Satori or this illumination. But to me, it was. And that was the point at which it's not that I found the Holy Grail. It's just that the way Rupert Spira talks was an indication for me directly into the nature of what I was looking for and everything that I was learning about. So at that point, I said, this is it. You know, this is the end of seeking to me. I no longer felt like I wanted to seek anything. Everything was there, and all I needed to do was just be. At any moment, just remember that understanding, remember that realization that happens in self-inquiry. So that's the reason why I no longer feel a desire to study a material and then share it. What I will continue to do is, because I'm so attracted to the mystical teachings, is that I will definitely talk about these teachings in a way that is congruent with what I know, with what I feel. And I know that a lot of people will resonate with this, because at this point in the Law of One, if you have listened to my material, you are already beating with this. Whether you still believe that you're seeking, my point is to end your seeking just as I ended mine, because that's what changed everything in my life and continues to give me more and more and more every day. It's just fascinating how this permeates everything. And that's my promise, that's my life's work, I could say, and it will never end. only by the ceasing of the chemical activity of this mind-body-spirit complex yellow-ray body. Another important lesson that I got, not only by the Law of One, but by my own, I guess, preference, but it echoes in the Law of One, is the incapacity to create a dogma, yeah, to become dogmatic, because it's very well known that we can develop a sort of dogma when we have a strong love for something. I recently talked to somebody and I explained this phenomenon of how we became dogmatic because we have a tendency to want to express this, to want to teach it. And by ways of teaching it, we need to dilute the experience. Remember, self-realization is an experience. It's a moment of oh, I get it. You see? That moment of, oh, I get it, that is the experience of, I understand. So when people say, what do you understand? You have to explain it. And by the sheer fact of wanting to explain it, guess what? It's diluted. This is not per se a problem because we can do this. And in fact, that's what I'm doing right now. But this is supposed to stimulate the experience in you. It's not supposed to create a construct, a mental construct, to which you're going to make a reference every time you need to make a decision or that you are trying to understand yourself. That is a very inefficient way to live your life. And so dogmas are created when these mental constructs are believed to be the truth. And from there, we just start building more and more. We build morality around it. We build specific behaviors, practices, and concepts and so on that we need to follow and do. And that's where dogma arises. I was very much aware of this. For some reason, I can't explain. It was just inherent in me that I guess my own past of rejecting religion, which is, you know, probably the biggest dogma that exists in the world, but also by being a scientist, because being a scientist, materialist scientist, is being dogmatic. And I used to be dogmatic that way. So I paid my dues, I could say, on being dogmatic. And I can see that the Law of One, somebody can attempt to make it dogmatic if they want to, but I love that the guardians of this knowledge, or this material, not the knowledge itself, but the material, the LNL research crew, they emphasize this. They're not dogmatic about this. They're just there to share the material to anybody who wants to study it. So I felt that was something that was, it was helpful in my path just to understand how dogmas can be created, because it starts here in your mind and then it starts taking room in your express life. Finally, I promised this video was going to be short. I prefaced this video by saying that this was a journey for me. It's a side effect that you're here listening to me, and that's something that, of course, I appreciate, because we all like companionship, friendship, and just this community, this sense of community. But I really started this whole journey for myself. However, because the feeling was so strong in me, the human side of this experience said, let's share this. And that's what I'll continue to do. I'll continue to share my experience, my own understandings, the way I see reality. This, of course, is not the way to see reality. We're simply expressions of this one understanding, and the masses stands alone, only there to be tapped by all of us in a specific way. That's the uniqueness and spontaneity that is encouraged in this knowledge, in this understanding of unity. So, yes, I began this journey by myself, for myself. I continue to do it by myself, for myself. But the only direction that I want is to share my own experience and my own knowledge of what this experience has been. So I appreciate that this is possible in this era, whereas in the past it used to be a very niche and small group, a sect or a sort of secret society. That's no longer the case. We can share this knowledge openly, and nobody's gonna, I think, burn us at the stake or something similar. The worst thing that can happen is social media or something. I know there's a term for this, and I keep forgetting. My son reminds me of it, which is like shaming. I forget what the term is. But that's better than being burned at the stake. And that's fine. I'll take that over anything else. In the future, we may not do that anymore, and we'll just be tolerant of each other's opinions and views. And that's all I have to share, to be honest. So at this point, my last words are to thank you simply for taking this journey with me to be, you know, a friend on the other side of the screen, for your comments, for your likes, for your subscription to my channel. If you're supporting me on Patreon, that's beautiful. I really appreciate it. I have dedicated my life to this, and it's a little known fact that I ended up selling my house just to dedicate myself to this. That's why I live here in the forest. And yet, you know, I continue to strive towards making this a living. And I appreciate everybody who has subscribed to Patreon and here on YouTube. If you're interested in supporting me, of course, this is the best place in which I can put it into my video. Go check the description. I would prefer Patreon. It's better, you know, in terms of percentage taken. YouTube takes a big chunk of what I produce, and that's fine. I'm willing to give that to YouTube, but yeah, Patreon will be better. If you want to get in touch with me and want to see what we can do together, Instagram is the best way, because I can get direct messages there, and yeah, we'll get to talk and see, you know, how we can do this together, because that's what I do. Also, mentoring is what I love, because I get to know you, I get to see your specific situation. If you just want a simple consultation, we can talk about it and see, you know, how I can help you. Once we have this background of a model, a structure of reality, and how we agree with how life works and what we're looking for, everything becomes easier at that point. So that's it. I have nothing else to say about the law of one. I think I express everything. This is not a, what is it? A final goodbye. It's just, I'll see you later, I guess, in the next videos. But this gives a culmination to my journey and my playlist / podcast on the raw material. I'll continue to talk about the law of one, of course, more precisely and specific about those things that I find that are very helpful to us in the practice of this path to self-inquiry and this journey, this inner journey that we call self-realization. So it's not a goodbye, it's a see you later. I appreciate you for being part of this little community, and I'll see you in the next video.